for tapes of End Time Meetings, Deliverance Services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday evening, July the 4th, 2002. Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Chuck Flynn from Orange, California is the speaker of the evening. All right, Brother Chuck. Brother Chuck Flynn is the first person that ever ministered here at the campground. Back in 1973, I think it was. No, 74.
Close.
December of 74. The very first camp meeting we ever had was up in the White House on the Hill, and Chuck was the preacher. And before that, we knew him many years before that. He used to come and minister at our house. And then our prayer group got too big, and we couldn't keep it in our house. And Chuck took it down to the chapel in the canyon, Dale Evans and Roy Rogers' little church out in the valley. And he and Bob Mumford took care of that for a long time. And Chuck and Marianne has been a blessing to us, and we're privileged for him to come minister to us. Brother Chuck.
Thank you, Glenn. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm so happy to be here at Camp Lake Hamilton and with you. Praise the Lord. How wonderful the Lord is. Let's go to Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. You're going to hear so many and already heard such wonderful things that God is doing. I love the word of the Lord. In fact, may we be stimulated to come on into greater treasures of the Lord. Hallelujah. Moses said it like this: He that dwelleth in the secret place. He used an interesting word for Psalms 91, verse 1. And he said that word dwell is a miner's term. In the Hebrew, it means stake your claim in the treasury of God. You will stake your claim and let no man take what God has given you and take your crown. Amen. You will stake your claim in the treasury of the Lord. Study to show yourself approved unto the Lord. And so that's the initiative. And I'm sure that man Moses saw it in all of its glory and authority. In this weekend, I'll just share a theme that the Lord's placed upon my heart, and each one of us has different contributions, the speakers, and I just enjoyed the youth and our brother in the morning. I feel a warfare message is apropos. Amen. It is needful, and today, July the 4th, we thank God. Spirituality, patriotism flow together. It just seems like there's a tremendous melting of diligence with when you have the balance. Hallelujah. And I was looking in, Brother Glenn, a old song book that I have. Brother Glenn knows I love the old antique records and sheet music and things. I'm down through the years. I've got Caruso, everything from Caruso to the Oklahoma. What was his name? The twirled. Will Rogers, and I got Will Rogers in 1931 introducing Henry Ford to be a president of the United States. It was sort of a roast type of thing, and And he said, now, a lot of these fellas are, they want you, they're promising a chicken in every pot. Well, here's a man that would have a Lizzie in every garage for you. So that's an old record. That's a museum piece. And so I love these type of things that are graceful. And there's an old songbook by Ira Sankey. Now, who is Ira Sankey? He is the pianist and the praise leader of Dwight L. Moody. In 1875, he wrote up this book of songs. And with those songs, he put the date that they were written. And there I looked at that, and I was going through it, and my, how beautiful Fanny Crosby. Oh, so many great writers, and Brother Sankey, and Charles Wesley, and so forth. And I got to one, I think it was Northcote, something like that. The brother wrote in 1776, and he wrote the song, Rock of Ages. Clip for me, let me hide myself in thee, the year of our hallelujah, Declaration of Independence. Amen. We thank God that nobody has independence but the rock. Those are upon the rock of ages. We love you for it. Hilabarakimosu tidivieki sitalabarandai. For I've set thy feet upon the rock, and the anointing of my peace shall go before thee. For surely the Lord will do a new thing within thee. For now your eyes are open to know that the Lord is in charge, and my grace is sufficient. And I will lift up my hand within thee, and you shall prove the hand of the Lord. For I will go before thee and quicken thee with the power and the might of the sword of my mouth. And thou shalt see great deliverance, and the anointing of the Lord shall set the captive free. And those that are in religious error and in idolatry, you will speak the word and see great conversions of authority. For this is your finest hour. I've raised you up to see it, and I will bring it forth as you speak in tongues. Believe that you have it, for you are speaking creatively the mysteries of the last harvest. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, amen. The Lord is good, isn't he? We just thank you, Father. The theme that I'll be dealing with is Deuteronomy 6. And we have in this portion of Scripture great divine order. And this Scripture, verse 4, is so beautiful and important. Hear, O Lord, or hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. It's a compound word. There are many factions, one Lord. And so we have the Trinity even involved in the Hebrew here. That is beautiful. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. This is the dedication that God put within his people that moves you. It is the wave offering. And the wave offering, if you'll notice an Orthodox Jew, when they read the Torah, or they will be reading the Scripture, they will go back and forth. They are living this verse. It means that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And so as there's a wave offering unto the Lord, as the Scriptures read, Then you have that anointing of the Holy Spirit that moves upon an individual, filling us with the Holy Ghost, and there's another wave offering of divine energy flowing through you. Hallelujah. There is that complete release that I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to have a pursuit of God that is beyond myself. It's those waves of glory and divine energy, a visitation that I'm living the Word. And I'm going to release that Word with authority and power. Hallelujah. And then this whole sixth chapter of Deuteronomy goes into the history and what the Lord did for the people. And don't forget in verse 12, then beware lest thou forget the Lord. And all the benefits when things get easy for you, beware that you not forget the Lord. And so God has, there has been a wake-up call within us, hallelujah, that we will be stirred by the Holy Spirit to be awakened by the divine energy of the Spirit of God. So don't forget the Lord thy God. And that's what the Lord spoke to Jeremiah. He says, I knew you. I set you apart before you were conceived. I knew you before you were even in the womb. I called you to be a prophet of the nations. And I brought you forth. And now I've come to visit you. And I want to know what you see. See, I knew you. I saw you before you were shaped in the human nature. I saw the potential that I put within your existence. And now, what do you see, Jeremiah? And Jeremiah said, I see an almond tree. I see an almond tree. And God said, that's why I'm visiting you. That's what he meant. An almond tree is the first tree that blooms and blossoms after a hard winter. It's the awakener. It's the one that awakens. The one that stimulates. It's a sign and a symbol of being alert. And out of slumber and out of sleep and out of conformity, if you please. God wants us to not be mesmerized by things around us and by the cares of the day. But what do you see? What is your vision? Let the Lord, while you're here this weekend and while you attend these services, let the Lord bring forth His glory within you that you can see the awakening in your own spirit. That a man's gifts will make room for him and take him before great men. That the anointing of the Holy Ghost within you. And when you pray in tongues, you'll also speak as Jesus said. When you say to a mountain, believe that you have it. Well, when you pray in tongues, that's a vision of what the Holy Ghost wants to be done within you. And say, Lord, I receive it. You might not know it. It's a mystery now. But it'll come to pass. You're sitting in an auditorium. You're sitting in an environment that was only in a vision at one time. He wasn't clear on that. Didn't know what would happen. Was it just going to be a place to camp people? No. It's to develop the body of Christ, to send out deliverance and anointing where people could come and be free in the power of the Spirit. And take as much time as they could to break all the yokes that would try to stymie an individual from having the love and the peace of Jesus that passeth understanding. Oh, what do you see? What is your vision? And that's That's what the Lord is dealing with all of us. Amen. Father, lift up our eyes. Amen. Onto the fields and onto the anointing of thy image. And so he goes on down. Let's read a little further down. And when thy son, we come down to the Seder or the Passover feast, or if we could say communion in its New Testament image. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, this is something that God spoke, and most believers just put it into the framework of the Jewish family, and I believe it should be in the framework of our teachings to our children. When we have communion, families should be together, and there should be a time that when the elements are given, that the mother and the father especially would teach the children. This is a symbol, it's an emblem of the precious blood. It's an emblem of the precious bread or the body of our Lord, that we are healed. And so in the great authority of divine deliverance and in the Passover where the blood rebukes and lifts off death off of every family, there is a responsibility that the children are set free in this knowledge. Amen. We've sort of forgot that in some areas. It doesn't reach its full potential till our children and grandchildren can explain to us the power and the deliverance of the blood covenant that rebukes the last enemy is death. Hallelujah. And that blood lifts death off of us. Praise God. That divine energy that comes upon the youth, and that's why Jesus said, have you never read when they said, can't you hear these kids crying out and praising and Hosanna to the Son of David? Can't you hear? 12th chapter of Matthew, and Jesus said, well, can't you read? Have you never read that out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, God has ordained strength? He has perfected praise. In the Hebrew, ordained strength. In the Greek, it's perfecting praise, which flows together, hallelujah, into an origin of strength. And so, this is verse 20. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? And then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen. We were slaves. We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, with a high arm. Write down by that Genesis 14, please. When Abraham met Melchizedek, he paid tithes, gave to Melchizedek the blessing of the warfare. Abraham was a man that set the captive free. He went up in that great war with Chedorlaomer and the other kings. He came and gave the tithe to Melchizedek. Melchizedek came with the wine and the bread. And then Abraham did something very wonderful after Melchizedek blessed him. Abraham lifted up the high arm covenant. And Abraham, this is where the high arm covenant comes from, is that Abraham raised his hand unto the Most High God. Hallelujah. And the word Most High God is the Hebrew word El Elyon. It means the possessor of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. It means that knowledge that you and I have of God releases us to the provision that God has for us. And so he's the possessor of heaven and earth. As Abraham raised his arm unto El Elyon, E-L, capital E-L-Y-O-N, he's the most high God, that possessor. And then the king of Sodom came. And the king of Sodom in the 14th chapter of Genesis said, I want you to take all of the stuff, just give me the people that you have set free. But you can take all the spoil. And Abraham said something very, very wonderfully thought through. And he said, you're not going to regulate Abraham. You're not going to regulate me and say that you made Abraham rich. I'm already rich because I know El Elyon, the possessor of heaven and earth. Amen. He said, see, Sodom means it's not perverseness as you and I think. That's the label that's been placed upon it. Sexual perversion and all types of unseemly situations. Although it's known by that. But sodomy goes further than that to unbalanced desire. Unbalanced desire. Controlling with usury, finance, and many other things, and religious control. Unbalanced desire. And Abraham said, you're not going to give me a shoelace. That's what he meant. I'm not taking anything from you because God is going to supply, amen, my every need. And Abraham was very wealthy. But he had to have a standard. He had to come to a place of dependence upon God. Hallelujah. And the Lord took him through, and the anointing of victory produced the blessing and the glory. So he had this high arm. So when the high arm covenant, after he had given and been blessed by the king and priest of ancient Jerusalem, Melchizedek. The ending of Melchizedek's name, the last portion, is Zedek, or Zadok. And the sons of Zadok take us into a greater dimension, way before the priesthood was established by Moses and Aaron. God was planning a tremendous separation of those that, according to how they stood with him. And so, if we're going to go into this a little more, let's see what kind of responsibility we have toward the Lord that releases us to the high arm covenant of Zadok. And I'll come back to Deuteronomy 6, but let's go to Ezekiel 44. Many of you are familiar with this, but God makes a choice here of the priesthood. And he's bringing us into a responsible position. And it still goes on today. And he's talking about the priests and the linen bonnets and so forth. And he's in Ezekiel 44. Then he brought me back the way of the gate of the outward. Verse 1. the outward sanctuary which looketh toward the east, and it was shut. Then said the Lord unto me, this gate shall be shut, and that's the eastern gate. It shall not be opened, and no man shall enter in by it, because the Lord, the God of Israel, hath entered in by it. Therefore it shall be shut. And he makes some statements here, and to the Son of Man. And in verse 7, in that ye have brought into my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised in heart, uncircumcised in flesh, to be my sanctuary, or in my sanctuary, to pollute it, even my house, and when ye offer my bread, the fat and the blood. And they have broken my covenant because of all your abominations, and ye have not kept the charge of mine holy things. You could underline that. You've not kept the charge of my holy things. And in verse 23, and they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. And in controversy, they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgments. And they shall keep my laws and my statutes in all mine assemblies, and they shall hallow my Sabbaths. Now, these are the separations of the priests. And in verse 15, but the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary, when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me to minister unto me. Would you please underline, to minister unto me. And they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith the Lord God. And they shall enter into my sanctuary, and they shall come near to my table to minister unto me, and they shall keep my charge. And there was a separation of the priest that would minister to the children of Israel and the sons of Zadok. This will take a whole teaching. I just want to touch upon it. That here the high arm covenant brings a definite division. And God is saying there was a time that I needed somebody to stand with me. When Jeroboam, it specifically mentions in the degree of exegesis, they say, of studying, this occasion when Jeroboam took the 10 tribes, and then he built 2 golden calves. It was after Solomon's passing. King Solomon died, and Rehoboam was in charge of David's throne. And Rehoboam, then Ahijah, the prophet, God sent him with a garment to tear it in 12 pieces, and he gave the pieces to Jeroboam. He gave 10. And he said, Jeroboam, these are the pieces, or the tribes, that I will give unto you. So Jeroboam had the promise. He had, God told him, these tribes are yours, if you keep my statutes and keep my covenant. And Rehoboam had 2 tribes and kept the seat of David at the temple of Jerusalem. But Jeroboam picked out brutes, and he brought forth those that were not dedicated to the things and the holy things of God. And he said, I don't want the people to go up to Jerusalem to worship there, because they will be kept under the order of Jehovah. And he concocted this separation in his own mind that he would lose authority, when God had already promised him. And he says, we're going to get, this is the origin of denominationalism. We're going to get a group that does what we want them to do. I'm not going to allow the people, the 10 tribes, to go to Jerusalem, because when I go up there, I'm not of the house of David. Rehoboam gets to sit down, because the house of David is represented by a chair, and Jeroboam would have to stand up. There's not as much prestige at Jerusalem as there is if I concoct my own system. And he made two golden calves, and he put one calf at Dan, one golden calf at Dan, he put the other golden calf at Bethel. What does that stand for? See, Dan, in Genesis 49, Jacob prophesied over his son Dan and said, Dan, you're going to be the serpent that snipes at the horse's heels. And that prophecy means warfare. And today, when you travel from Tel Aviv up to Jerusalem, how many have seen the half tracks and the primer coated tracks, tanks, and the 1948 war vehicles that the rabbis have left on the road to Jerusalem as a fulfillment of Jacob's prophecy over Dan? Amen? How many have seen those? It's beautiful. That it was the tribe of Dan that kept the road open in 1948 for the independence of Israel. And especially the women. They were ruthless, history tells us. The Jewish women, it was sink or swim. And they wasn't going to bow. It was a determination. It was a definite seal. I'm not going to be wiped out. I'm going to stand for what's right. And the tribe of Dan took their stand. And that's why Jeroboam made a calf, put it in the north, at Dan. And it stood for warfare. He made another golden calf, and he put it in Bethel in the south. And that stood for worship. Bethel, the house of God. And the ones who went along with that, of the Levitical priests, and they went along with Jeroboam and all of this infiltrated dogma, it weakened Israel, and Jeroboam caused Israel to sin. And the priests that went along with it, even to their generations, God says, I'll allow them to minister in the outer court. They'll minister to the people. They'll take care of the business of the ministry. But only those of the sons of Zadok will minister to me. And there's your core of ministry today. Is it for others? Yes, of course. You want to see others come to the kingdom. But your core of devotion and commitment is as the sons of Zadok. You will deal with the holy things. Hallelujah. We will minister to the Lord. Isn't that what Jesus told Saul of Tarsus? It's hard for you to kick against pricks. Saul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" "I'm Jesus. And I've appeared unto thee." The word appear is feast. It's the Hebrew definition of feast days. There's seven feasts in the Old Testament. There's one feast in the New Testament. It's called the Feast of Ministry. "I have appeared unto thee to make thee a minister." The word minister means huperitas. You're not a bone on your own. You just don't do what you think is right. You flow with the anointing of the Spirit. And the word there in the Greek is huperitas, which means under roar. We row together. And we got one oar, and that's the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's the root meaning that Jesus put on ministry. "I've called you to be an under rower. And you will obey my voice. And you will work with others that I put you alongside of." The Apostle Paul, he gave John Mark the boot. He wouldn't let John Mark go with him. Later on he said, "Send John Mark to me, for he's profitable unto me in the ministry." Hallelujah. Jesus said, "I'm going to make you a minister. I'm going to work and develop within you. It's going to take some doing."
Amen.
He had to put him apart. The word secret place means shut him up. Put him in a place where they can't do any harm. That's the secret place where you're learning only of God and from God. And for 14 years, the Apostle Paul was out at Tarsus till Barnabas went and got him, the son of consolation. Some of us get too busy for our own sake. May God shut us into the secret place. Hallelujah. The treasure is there. Oh, thank you, Father. And those ministers that minister to the people will deny the power of the Holy Ghost, deny the great deliverance of the blood covenant, and death has to leave. They'll deny all of the great gifts and fruits of the Spirit. Because they'll be against warfare, and they'll be against worship.
That's right.
Huh?
That's right, yep.
Warfare and worship. But the sons of Zadok will minister to the Lord. That's why Jesus said, "Ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You'll be witnesses unto me. To Jerusalem, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth." Be witnesses who? To? Unto me. What you do is to me. You're responsible to me. And it'll help you not to be discouraged because it's to me. Amen. When I give you a backhand, you'll fall under power and not under somebody's criticism. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. The anointing will come upon you. But you're the sons of Zadok. And then in that testimony of the Apostle Paul, Jesus said, "I'm going to deliver you from the people. I'm going to deliver you from the people. You're not going..." Some of the great revelations that the Apostle Paul had is so strong and so wonderful and a blessing to us. I doubt if any of us know too much about them. They're so marvelous because we can't understand with the people's gender. We've got to come in to the Zadok gender of the holiness. "I stood with you. I kept the faith when others gone went their way, and when ministries..." You remember the things that Eli's sons did? You've got Eli's sons today.
Yes,
You remember what Eli's sons did? They did profane and fornication at the very doors of the tabernacle. But the thing that God mentions is, he mentions that, and it's there, and Eli was upset about it and couldn't do anything about it. But God mentions the thing that I really didn't like, and the thing that really discouraged my people, is that the Eli sons, I told the priest to use two hooks. When they got, they would just throw in two hooks and would take out the meat for their portion. But Eli's sons come up with a third hook and the three-prong hook so they could get more meat. And we got a lot of three-prong ministers today.
That's right.
And so Ichabod was written. But thanks be unto God, the seer anointing is being lifted up, and great authority is coming upon God's people.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Because there is this separation, divine authority. Let's read again, verse 15. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok that kept the charge of my sanctuary, when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me to minister unto me, and they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, saith the Lord God. And they shall enter into my sanctuary, and they shall come near to my table to minister unto me. And they shall keep my charge. They shall keep my charge means that there is a continuation of direction from God. God never establishes a stayed, and I say this very respectfully, a stayed position. He's always doing something fresh and new. And he told Moses, I was Adonai. I was the Almighty to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But to you and the children of Israel that I'm going to bring out of Egypt, I'm going to be Jehovah. The Lord is salvation. Hallelujah. In other words, God says, I reveal myself in one dimension to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But now, you're going to know me in the Jehovah language. Praise God. And he's still revealing himself in the anointings of the blessing of our God. That's the grace we have in him. Praise the Lord. Let me speak this theme of Deuteronomy and chapter 6. And he says, then thou shalt say, verse 21, unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. The Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. This is the theme. I'll be coming back and forth, but he brought me out to do what? To bring me in. I want you to underline that. He brought me out. He brought us out from thence that he might bring us in. It's good to be brought out. It's good to be divinely delivered and let the hand of God move in our lives. It's wonderful to be brought out. But it's another thing to be brought in. with the same miracles that you were set free and delivered, with greater miracles of coming into Him, coming into His knowledge. In fact, all the epistles of the Apostle Paul, the theme is in Christ. Hallelujah. So He brought us out. He's cleansed our temple. The anointing of the Trinity is upon us. Let's go to John chapter 2, and I'll have to conclude, but let's read John 2, the cleansing of the temple, and how He brings us out. John 2, and verse 13. Hallelujah. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when He had made a scourge of small cords, He drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not My Father's house an house of merchandise. And His disciples remembered that it was written in Psalm 69, it's written, the zeal of Thine house hath eaten Me up. Now, this is the first cleansing. This cleansing of the temple has to do with every believer. The first cleansing is the Holy Spirit drawing us into repentance and salvation, and the Holy Ghost coming upon us, cleansing our temple. That's the first cleansing, for the zeal of the house of the Lord eats us up. So the Holy Ghost comes and prepares us for the Father and the Son. But in every cleansing, some people say, well, I thank God I was delivered. Amen. When I come into the kingdom of heaven, praise God, I was a mess. But little do they realize that at every point of cleansing and divine energy of God's presence, there are other dimensions of divine cleansing. Hallelujah. And that's why the temple was not only cleansed by Jesus one time, it was cleansed three times. Let's go to Matthew 21 as the second cleansing of the temple. Matthew chapter 21. Now, the first cleansing is the cleansing of the Holy Spirit to set us free, and the zeal of the house of the Lord. And we're interested in the things of God, and we're set free of demonic activity in the realms of habits and temperaments. Now, let's look at the 12th verse of Matthew 21. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold. This is verse 12. That sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple, and He healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that He did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto Him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, yea, have ye never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? And He left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and He lodged there. Now, you need verse 18 to connect the events, so you don't think, well, it goes back to John, the second chapter, at the beginning of his ministry. It's the same thing. No, it isn't. It's another cleansing. This is the cleansing of the Son of God, the name, the power of Jesus, for the blind and the lame to be healed, for the anointing of the Lord to come upon the children. And he left them and went out of the city, verse 17, into Bethany. And he lodged there, now verse 18, now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away, and when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Do you see the events now? At the second cleansing is the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost to bring forth the name and the power of Jesus in your life, so that signs will follow you. So the anointing of victory is in your life. There's also a relationship. The cleansing produced the results of glory and manifestation. There are hurts and bruises and different types of situations that are needed for the cleansing of that precious name, and the dealings and the presence of the Lord Jesus moves within us. Then we have, let's go to the third cleansing, is Mark 11. And oh, I think it's also verse 12. Mark 11, verse 12. Now, that event of the triumphant entry was on Sunday, and the Lord was crucified the following, within 3 to 4 days, within that Wednesday, the high day. So that was Sunday. Then he goes to Bethany, stays all night, gets up on Monday morning, so write Monday if you want to, at verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. This is the cleansing of the Father. Don't carry any other vessel. Don't have any other religious attachment. Because the Father's presence, you're the habitation of the Father now. There is a glorious cleansing, even though it's similar events, but oh, thank God for the Trinity cleansing. You're not only the temple of the Holy Ghost, but we're the temple of the Trinity. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my words. And when you keep my words, the Father has a greater love than John 3:16. And John 3:16's love saves us, redeems us. But John 14:23, my Father will love you. It's a greater love. And we will come and make our abode within you. That love is the love that not only redeems you and gives you fire insurance to miss hell, but that love possesses you. That's the possession of the love in the Trinity. We will come and make our abode within you. Hallelujah. So I brought you out. Jehovah God is saying to bring you in. The same miracles that I delivered you and saved you, now another dimension of glory is coming upon you. You're going to be set free. Hallelujah. The child of God is not in the framework of, in most cases, of saying, Lord, we want to attain more. I want to walk with thee. I want more power. But along comes the cleansing and the anointing and provision and workings. But you're going to come out of it, hallelujah, with signs that will follow. And great anointings will come to your life. Hallelujah. I brought you out to bring you in. Amen. And Exodus 19, verse 4 says, I brought Israel out on eagle's wings unto myself. Praise the Lord. That's the beauty of it. That's the glory of what God is doing within us. And then our time has gotten away, but I will be going to Revelation chapter 1, our next session, for he's the Alpha and the Omega. Hallelujah. He knows all about and he's equipping his people. We might think that right now there is a period. It seems like we're in the gap, as Ezekiel said. I search for a man that stand in the gap and make up the hedge. Sometime when we don't feel like we're as strong as we could and things still try to shake us up. But remember this, we're on the potter's wheel. And God's bringing forth vessels unto honor. And he's dealing with my life. He's dealing with yours. And he's going to purify his presence within us. Hallelujah. We are vessels unto honor. And his word is true. Praise God. Amen. From glory to glory, he's changing me into his image. And the word change means he's mixing me. It's in the Amplified, the word is transfigured. He's transfiguring me. He's mixing me with his divine nature. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's putting his divine nature within me. And that's why he's saying to you, as he said to the Apostle Paul, I've appeared unto thee to make you, to develop you into a minister. Hallelujah. That will set the nations free. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We're going to see tremendous glory in the nations. God is delivering mankind by his mighty arm. Amen.
Amen.
I thank God. But this thing is not hid in a corner. I believe we're going to see the fires of deliverance,
yes,
rise up through the nations. And denominations, as they were shocked by the tongues movement, and they got so used to it and comfortable with it, they controlled it out of its power.
Yes.
But not so with deliverance.
Hallelujah.
The historic churches. And God knows how the Lord raised up. And Glenn and Irma worked with Demas Shakarian. And we saw the actions of how many ministries were helped through that tremendous evolution of glory. Well, there's going to be the same operation. I don't like the word same, because it's going to be fragrance and new and aroma of glory. Because God's going to jerk the slack out of religious people that know Him. And divine deliverance is going to be rampant throughout the world. Hallelujah! Let's speak in tongues. We loose the body of Christ. We loose the glory of our God. Set the pulpits. Set Christian television free. I thank you, Father. For yea, the new day is upon you. And this is your finest hour. And as the king put the scepter of Esther forward, I put my scepter upon thee. For you will come boldly to the throne of grace. You will come into the darkness of my presence. And the glory of my plans and purposes shall be revealed to my people. For yea, the glory of the darkness and the mysteries of Zion and the manifold wisdom is loosed in thee this night. For you shall speak in the Spirit, and I will bring it to pass. And the peace of the Lord shall set the captive free. For what you see here is going to resound and going to explode throughout the nations. For I will call upon the glory and the anointing of the altars and the fasting and the prayer and the glory of my saints shall bring it to pass. For in that precious name shall many be set free, for the glory of the Lord is at hand. Amen.
Amen.
Father, do it. Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord Almighty. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. The arm of the Lord is not shortened. Amen. He's going to save and set free. Hallelujah. Praise God Almighty. Amen. Oh, how beautiful it is to see His hand working in lives as the Holy Ghost moves within us. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, sweet Jesus. Sister here with your hand there, would you stand up, hon? Because my hand's upon thee, thou shalt not waver. But the glory of the Lord encampeth around about you. And the fires of my authority shall engulf thee. For surely the Lord's hand shall loose the sword of my mouth within you. And I will bring you into the fire of my glory. And the Father's fire shall encompass thee round about. And you shall have the ring of fire of the angelic glory. And the Lord's called you forth to minister. And my peace and my anointing shall bring it to pass. And that loved one that's in jeopardy, I've sent the word. And I will loose them and bring to pass that which you have petitioned my throne. For the glory of my name will anoint thee well. So therefore, my daughter, be of good cheer. Yea, the dawn is arising. The horizon of the Lord, the Son of Righteousness, is arising with healing in His wings. For thou shalt see my anointing and my glories around about you. Therefore, rise up. You have prayed divine order, and divine order will come. For I'm the faithful one, and you'll hear. At yea, a whole mental attitude of deliverance. Yes, come upon them that you are believing for, and my peace shall sustain you, for this is your finest hour. Amen, amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, sweet Lamb of God, the Lord is good to us. Sister here, God bless you. Good to see you. Come on up there. And because I have covered thee, yea, with the mantle of glory, As I told the sons of Zadok, you will wear linen because you're not going to sweat. You're not going to perspire in this situation. I have given thee a ministry that shall release and shall bring great relief and glory, and the coolness of the day shall be upon thee. As I walked with Adam in the cool of the day, that communication has been restored within you. Therefore, my daughter, rise up, for the glory of the Lord will anoint thee well and bless you mightily. For you're a message of a banner, if you please. You're the banner of the kingdom, and great anointing shall be given unto thee. For I've given you, yea, as the fan is in my hand, and I will thoroughly purge my floor. I've loosed you in the baptism of fire, and you will send forth the fan of my glory, and many shall be filled with the Holy Ghost and fire, for I've loosed it. There's a true fire from the throne coming. The false fire is rebuked of those that will minister, yea, another Jesus, and they'll receive another spirit and hear another gospel. But yea, the simplicity of Christ, of my anointing, shall go forth, and there's a pureness of my banner that's being raised up even at this hour, and many shall hear thereof and be glad, for I will anoint and heal and strengthen you, because you have had a part in it. Yea, glorify my name, for I will walk with thee, and we shall agree. Amen. Agree means make a symphony. That's the Greek word, symphono, which means you're a symphony unto me. Amen. Saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God Almighty. Amen. Someone would like to stand up. One or two. That peace that I've given you shall be strong, and my authority is over thee, my son. So, yea, take your grit. Take your determination. And don't throw your confidence. Cast not, therefore, away your confidence. In the Greek, it means don't throw your weapon down while you're being shot at. There's some situations that are trying to challenge you, and they're rough, as our brother said. There's some tremendous pressures that are in the land, but we bind it in Jesus' name. We loose the confidence of the Lord, and my strength shall go before thee, and thou shalt surely put your hand in mine and see the deliverance of thy God. Amen. For my peace is over thee. Reach your hands out toward our dear brother. Father, do a complete work. What I've begun to do within you, I will perform it. Therefore, be of good cheer and do not fear, for the day of the Lord is at hand within thee. And yea, as others minister around you, yield to the power of the blood covenant. For that blood lifts all death off of you, and we shall rejoice together. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, sister, here. The peace that I've given shall be strong upon thee, and surely the Lord will guide your steps. For that which would have tried about 2 months ago to be of a grievous friction situation, I'm lifting that off of you. For the problem isn't solved, it's dissolved. And I will be strong within you, and divine healing power shall move through thy life and quicken you. Because of that faith and that anointing of that faith, you will prophesy my name and my glory over this situation. That which was eroded or robbed shall be restored. For this is the peace that I've given you that shall restore and bring to pass my faith that's upon thee. Amen. God bless you. You're going to see a maneuvering and even a traveling, but you're here, especially this week, but there's been, for the last couple weeks, there's been some equipping anointing that's going to bring forth the timing of the Lord. You've come into the kingdom for such a time as this. That's the scripture. But I've put you into the cocoon of my timing, and you'll see the glory. Hallelujah. And for your benefit and healing. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Brother, the strength of my words upon thee, you'll not waver, but you will be strong and do exploits. Go thou forth in the power and the demonstration of my way, for you will see the cape of fire around about you. And I've loosed you in a new dimension of the faith. And Elijah's confidence is given unto thee. For I've chosen you. As I said to Elijah, I've chosen a widow to feed you. Therefore, the anointing that I've given you, my son, is a mantle of fire that's going to go before you, and you will say, yea, the Lord has put me at the right place at the right time, and you will see the glory around about you and know that I'm guiding you and leading you, and great joy shall be your portion. Allow 2 weeks. Because the anointing of the incubation of prophecy is moving in your spirit. Allow the Lord to bring it to pass, for I will do a new thing with you, and we'll rejoice together. Amen.
Amen.
Sister in the middle there, you will be strong, and you have the trumpet anointing, for you will trumpet my glory, and the anointing of the Lord shall bless you, my daughter, for I have loosed thee in a fresh, glorious manner to send forth the glory of the Lord in all the world, and you will be strong in me, knowing that I will bless you mightily. And this situation that there's been a closed door, a closed opportunity, I will release you financially. You're going to see an effectual door happen, and I will open it, and you'll have the key of David, and no man's going to shut it. Amen? Hallelujah. My daughter, the strength of my name and the harmony of the Lord is a personal situation. I'm going to bring to pass the desire of your heart, and that which was disappointing, that which seemingly they meant for evil, I'm going to turn it to the good. And you will say, yea, the Lord is faithful. And because you've been faithful to my house, I'll be faithful to yours. And we shall rejoice together. For what you have put your hand in the plow of Almighty God, you will see the plow turn into a cape, a mantle of strength and purpose. And my ministry will flow through you. Amen. My son, rejoice because it's a new day and the glory of the Lord's around you, and I will watch your steps. You will walk circumspectly before me. That means you will see around you. You'll be well aware of situations. I'm going to give you a sensitivity of the hour. It's in Isaiah 11, verse 3. I've given you quick understanding. The Hebrew word for quick understanding means you'll catch the scent of a hound dog. You will be so sensitive spiritually, that discernment that you've prayed for, you will discern things and know the divine glory and direction of the Lord and see a complete deliverance of the power and the intent of the Holy Ghost. Because you do a lot of wrestling, a lot of maneuverings, but praise God, the Lord thy God's put you into more of an achieving authority that you'll bring it to a head, and you will have the power to have a tremendous release of the glory that I've given you in a certain area, situation of deliverance, but also in an area of provision. You will be vindicated, saith the Spirit. Vindicated. You've gone through too much harassment and other counsels that are religious, recognized situations they are, but you've been under a situation that's lifted from you. Amen. God bless you. Hallelujah. You'll know my hand and you'll know my power, for I've touched your shoulders with wisdom. Yea, there's that wisdom of the Lord. And you will seek my face, and yet you will not take counsel. Yea, sit at my feet, but learn of me. And don't do your own thing. You will walk before me and I'll guide you. So don't be impatient. Allow the Lord to change this for the good. Because I know the desire of your heart. I've anointed you. The ministry of sensitivity of the Lord is with thee. And surely the Lord will bless you. You have the song of the Lord. You're going to be very inventive and creative. You have creative talent. Therefore, the Lord's blessing will be upon you. But don't allow your heart. David said in Psalms 4, the night that he left Jerusalem because of Absalom, he said, I'm going to lay my head on the pillow and tell my heart to shut up. Your heart's been talking too much and too many hurts. It's lifted off of you. You can't work it out. God has what He has for you. So, my child, wait on the Lord and praise me, for the victory is at hand. I have something greater for you, and my strength shall bring it to pass. Amen. Praise the Lord. Know thou not the peace of the Lord's upon you. Take your right hand, seal your forehead. I'm going to seal you with the Holy Spirit of promise. Because the kingdom of heaven is upon thee, and no mark of any worldly situation is going to come nigh your dwelling. I'm setting you free, and your family shall rejoice, because, yea, you've had to bear the heat of the day and the muck and mire of others' disobedience. But I'm not going to have you pay for others' disobedience. You're going to serve the Lord and put it back on them, because I'm going to set you free and provide for you abundantly. And you'll not have to be under somebody else's arrogance and disobedience toward me, saith the Spirit. I hope you understand what that means. Jesus said it. An old Pentecostal preacher, Glenn, over there at Bellflower. And he taught me, he says, Jesus said, whosoever sins you remit are remitted. But he says, wait a minute. He says, I teach the people, if they've got a loved one that all they can do is drink up the milk that's supposed to be for the kids and everything, we just say, if you're ready now, by faith, we're going to put that back on them. They're not going to make you and the kids pay for their habits and their disobedience. And boy, they shape up or ship out. He said, great deliverance comes when you are determined in Jesus' name. He's the only one that paid for sin on the cross. And people, you know, and with sons and daughters, we'd carry them along. But, oh, the warfare of remittance. Remittance means you pay their bill. And nobody can do that but the Lord. You say, hey, in Jesus' name, that's on them. And God will deal with them. Amen. Amen. Talk about tough love. My Lord, have mercy. The strength of my words upon you, and my zeal shall envelop thee. For the zeal of the house of the Lord surrounds you. And that in the lower part of your abdomen, yea, is healed, and that intimate situation is lifted from you, and that infection is gone, because the name of the Most High God's upon thee, and thou shalt see the hand of the Lord. I told you 3 years ago that signs will follow. Your faith is strong in me, and you shall know the ministry of divine anointing and authority. So therefore know that I'm working within this personal situation. I'm bringing you out with a high arm covenant, and I'll provide the dwelling of the Lord with great joy, and we shall rejoice together. Amen. You'll see 2 weeks of maneuverings, great maneuverings, but I will bless you mightily and bring forth the completeness of your petition. Amen. That peace that I've given shall pass understanding. The joy of the Lord is your strength, and I will bless you mightily. And my daughter, do not fear. You're walking through a situation, but I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Come on down here. Hallelujah. There are times when laying on of hands, the right hand is the expression of divine deliverance. The left hand has to do with the inner chamber of the life and will lift off emotional misunderstandings and emotional heaviness. That sometimes you'll feel the Lord's presence in something but your emotions. That's why 13th chapter of Hebrews verse 5, I'll never leave thee nor forsake you, so that you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. And J. Herman Alexander heard me teach this on PTL. I will not, and the word there in the Greek means, I'll not be seized with fear. There are seizures of the flesh, and there's seizures in the spirit. And amen, you're set free. Emotional situation that would have tried to discourage you is rebuked and lifted from you. The back of your head is the center of emotion. And my peace and my joy shall go before you. And you'll not be sucked under with the riptide of this situation that would have tried to discourage. But I have you at the right place, the right timing. And my peace and my joy is over thee, so that you'll know. Stand still. And you'll see the salvation, and the working of your desire shall be in me. For I am the faithful one, saith the Lord, and your sleep shall be sweet, and the glory of my name shall be upon thee. And surely the Lord has done a great thing within thee, and this intimate situation is lifted off of you. And I will bless you mightily with the greater anointing of thy heart. You'll say, yea, the Lord is faithful, because I will do a new thing, a fresh work of my glory. And you're truly equipped to go through a marvelous door, a situation that I have purposed within you. Amen. Oh, you'll be surprised. Well, amen. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Excuse me. Yes.
Sure. I just want to testify. I'll just take a few minutes. I'm 53 years old. At age 27, on my medical record, it said bone cancer. Do you think that if I got through that burden, I could get through anyone? But I just want to tell you that Stephen is going to attack you in a different way. We've got to continually keep our heart in the right place,
Johnny,
our sight on God.
We can't hear you.
Nope.
Here, put that.
All righty. I'll try again. First of all, when I cry, too, my tears sometimes are of joy in how much the Lord does for me. And that's what these tears are for. I'm age 53 right now. At age 27, I had on medical records a diagnosis of bone cancer. At that time, the life expectancy was 5 years. You do the math. Okay? I just want to tell you, though, you would think if I'd been through that, my faith in the Lord would be great. But the demon attacks us in different ways. He'll come at you at a different angle in a different way. I'm learning this, that we have to keep our sight on the Lord. We have to keep our reading in the Bible, not in some of the other books. And we've got to check out what our pastors teach us. That doesn't mean we can't stay in churches. Well, you know, sometimes it's the time to move is not yet. Sometimes you're there in the church, you know, to support that church. But,
amen,
you know, the Lord tells us, not us.
Praise the Lord. All right. Hallelujah. Well, Glenn, is it 3 more minutes? He's got a few more minutes there. All right. Does something happen tonight that you learned or something that you'd like to share? Amen. This, all right. System, yes. You'll have to come down here, I think. Brother Glenn wants.
I've been crying out to God in my first.
Come on down if someone has another
one. And I've had someone that's been kind of on me real hard, and I just been faithful to him and haven't tried to think any negative thoughts towards them and just question why I was in this situation. You know, is it me? Is it my sin? And what is it? What is it, Lord? What is it? What is it? Today, this person who has really been on me for about 3 years came to me and just hugged me and kissed me and thanked me for everything I've done for him. And I just praised God. I said, I don't know what I did, but God.
Hallelujah. Well, it's what you're going to do now. You're going to, amen, learn from these things where God moves. Some of us don't learn the lesson. We still get hurt. And I learned that God's in charge of everything. Just praise the Lord. Leave it up to the Lord. All right? Anyone else? Praise the Lord. Oh, yeah, brother.
I was kind of feeling tonight that maybe some of you just are not sure about these words of prophecy and stuff, but I'm a living witness. Chuck prophesied over me 24 years ago that I was going to be a deliverance minister, and that was the last thing on earth I was looking for. Within a year, I was full-blown at it.
I didn't know that. Thank you, Lord. All right. Yeah, come on down. Praise God. All right. Tell us when we're through here.
Hello, I'm Mary, and I'm a servant of the Lord. He chose a subject that was really dear to my heart, the example of Eli, who raised boys that were a disappointment, and Zadok, who the Bible says that he raised sons pleasing to God. And I always said to the Lord, well, Lord, I'm going to raise my sons and dedicate them to you. And the Lord gave me 7 sons. So it's a big job, but I put it in his hands because I use Zadok as my example because he is praised for raising boys that were pleasing to God. And Eli died the same day his sons died because he wasn't a strong parent. He didn't rely on God. Thank you.
Well, everything... You stick around Lake Hamilton long enough, everything will happen here, sooner or later. Hallelujah. All right, bless the Lord. Okay, let's stand. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Amen. What's our schedule tomorrow?
Prayer meeting
is at 6 o'clock.
Morning service at 10.
At 10 o'clock, the morning service.
Breakfast in between.
Breakfast in between. Tomorrow afternoon, the deliverance service.
1:15, the ladies and the men's meeting. 3 o'clock, deliverance service.
3 o'clock, deliverance service.
Back at 7 with you.
Okay, back tomorrow night at 7. Hallelujah. With the Lord. All right. God bless you. 10 o'clock tomorrow. Prayer meeting at 6. Shake hands with quite a few. Let's enjoy ourselves.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.